The Association of Social Workers, they're going to be protesting. A protest is being held in Belfast today against something called the Universal Credit to Child Cap, which in itself is understandably explained in its term, I suppose, and the Associated Rape Clause. I want to find out more about this. Let me speak to Carolyn Ewart. Carolyn, good morning. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. I got you there. Okay, Carolyn, you're the country manager of the Northern Ireland Association of Social Workers. Just explain the Universal Credit to Child Cap, which, you know, I think is explained in its term, but also the rape clause within this.
Okay, well, social workers today are taking part in a protest, as you say, that's being held at Belfast City Centre at lunchtime, really to stand in opposition to the Universal Credit to Child Cap. And the associated rape clause. A dreadful term, Frank, but that's kind of what it's become known as. As you say, the two-child cap is just that. So for working families, and this is a cap that's aimed directly at working families, people will only be able to claim child tax credit for two children. So if they have any more children than that, they will not be able to claim the essential money that they need to help support their children and keep their family out of poverty. There are several exceptions to that. One being if you have adopted a child, if a child is part of a multiple birth, so if you've twins or triplets, etc. And the other really controversial clause that if you can ask a GP, a social worker or a nurse to verify that you have been raped and that the pregnancy and the child is a result of that rape, then you'll be allowed to access benefits for that child. I mean, as social workers, we think it's absolutely abhorrent. It's a dangerous policy. It's ill thought out, and we think it's going to see hundreds of thousands more children and families forced into poverty and potentially put women and children at increased risk of violence.
Would this be where the assailant had been found guilty of the rape, or can someone just claim they were raped?
The information we have through from the Department of Work and Pensions is that someone can present to one of those three identified third parties, so I say again, social worker, GP or nurse, and report that they're pregnant and that they have been raped. It is then up to that third party to verify that that person has in fact been raped and support their application. And as we understand, there's little guidance around, but what we understand is that that application for exemption and for special consideration will go to a panel for consideration, and they will then decide, based on the information that they receive, whether or not to support the benefit application. It raises huge, huge ethical issues, I think moral issues. I mean, I think personally it's morally repugnant. I mean, it's a policy that is really ill-conceived, poorly thought out. Very, very little consultation happened across communities and professional groups here to hear the kind of concerns that we're now voicing. Had we been asked in advance, we could have highlighted some of the very real dangers and threats in this policy. Very poor. And we have to remember, this is a policy that is targeted at working families with three children or more. So we know lots of families across the UK rely on their child element of the Universal Credit. It's worth £2,780 a year. So we break that down, that's £232 per month. That's a lot of money for a family, you know, who's just about making it to lose. I would ask your listeners if they could afford to lose £230 every month. It's going to make a massive impact on struggling families, and ultimately the people who lose out in all of this are our children.
Is this only relevant to children born in the future or to women who are currently pregnant, or is it relevant to children who already exist?
It's relevant to children who already exist. So it came into force in April of this year, but it will apply. So if someone's making a fresh application, so say your circumstances change, say you're a married couple, you have three children, someone is made redundant, their job's cut, someone becomes ill and is unable to work through illness and they have to take some time off, they make an application for child tax credit to support their income. If they have more than three children, regardless of what age they are, whether they were born before April of this year or not, they will only be allowed to claim benefit for two children.
It is to discourage people from having children that they can't afford to keep.
That's the idea. But I mean, I think I've raised it again, Frank, that this is, it's not a policy that's targeted at large out of work families. And I think that's a misnomer at times. People have this idea that there are lots of families out there with people choosing not to work, choosing to have lots of children because they know they're going to get limitless benefits to support them. What we find as social workers, I mean, we work across all of society. We work with some of the most disadvantaged and marginalised people in society. We see every day the impact that poverty has on people and children, families living in Northern Ireland. This is not a problem that's happening somewhere else, you know, happening to others. It's happening within our own society. Northern Ireland and some of our electoral wards have some of the highest levels of child poverty across the UK and Europe. And that's really shocking that in this modern day society that we have such a high percentage of children who live daily and experience real poverty. And this is a benefit that is going to impact those children and those families even more severely. I mean, some of the figures that have come out estimate that 200,000 more children in the UK will be forced below the poverty line. That's really shocking.
You wouldn't expect very many women to be, I was going to say benefiting, and that would be so the wrong word, going to be claiming the rape clause to get the money.
I mean, we are unsure how that's going to pan out. If you can imagine that you have been the victim of a violent sexual assault and you've been raped, whether that's by your partner, someone you know you're in a relationship with, or whether it's by someone you don't know, the trauma you experience from that, to be re-traumatised in having to go and talk to someone who you maybe don't know very well, you've maybe never met before, and disclose to them that you have been raped and find yourself now pregnant, and that third party. I mean, there's no real guidance around this, Frank, for professionals, but we're going to have to ask some questions. You know, we can't just tick a box and say, okay, this woman's told me she's been raped. You know, we have professional standards, codes of ethics. We will have to try and gather some information to support that claim. And that is just wrong. It really is ethically and morally wrong to force a woman to access benefits to have to come forward and report such a circumstance. And I think you're right. I think most women who are in that circumstance simply won't report it. We know that rapes are significantly underreported anyway, that most people don't come forward. And this is an extra push that is very dangerous. One of the other things within the policy is that the woman who's pregnant cannot now be living with the perpetrator of the rape. We know there's a lot of rape and sexual violence happens within abusive family situations. That woman, if she needs to claim benefit to support her children, will be forced to leave that abusive partner. And that, as we know time and time again, through lots of statistics and really good research, is the most dangerous time for a woman who's experiencing violence. So she will be forced at a time when she's traumatised, physically and mentally unwell and pregnant, to leave a partner just so she can access an element of child tax credits.
Okay.
It's hard to figure, get your head around, I think.
Yeah, it's certainly challenging. There's no question about it. Karen, just stay with me for a moment, because Anne is on this line and she's a point to make about the two children cap. Anne, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, Anne, what is your point, please?
My point, it's very simple, and as a defender, Ricky Reducer, you know, I know we're living in the 21st century, but I come from a Catholic faith, and whilst I'm not overly religious, I do have some issues, you know. There are a lot of people within many faiths, not just Catholicism, that don't believe in contraception. And, you know, they feel that it is against their faith, against their principles. And, you know, as much as in Catholicism, Pope Francis doesn't advocate that you bring in children if it's going to be into a situation where they're going to be in poverty, because he's very much against poverty. There are still very, very staunch Catholic followers that simply don't believe in Catholicism. And maybe sometimes, getting back to the other lady's point where they're in abusive relationships, sometimes it's not about the women not wanting to take contraception. They are overpowered by their partner's religious beliefs, and it is absolutely a no-no that the woman takes contraception. I'm also a midwife. There could be medical reasons why a woman can't take contraception, and therefore it's up to the husband, and he might be keen on whether he uses a condom, or he might be totally against the idea of getting sterilised, vasectomy. So, you know, where does that leave us? You know, they're taking away the woman's right to her own medical health, and I think that, again, as the other lady said, is another big ethical issue, and it's taking away your rights, not just about having children, but about taking ownership of your own personal health.
Okay.
That basically the government's enforcing you to be sterilised in some form.
Okay, Anne, is quite a list there. Just very briefly, Carolyn, that point about Catholicism, is that relevant in today's modern era?
Oh, I think it is. I think there's lots of people, not just within the Catholic faith, different faiths, who have a religious reason to choose not to use birth control, and that this policy will absolutely impact on them. They
okay.
will find themselves that they have more than two children and find themselves needing extra support from the state, unable to access it.
Okay, Carolyn Ewart, thank you very much, and thank you for raising the points as well. Your opinions are very welcome on what you've been hearing. 90333105 is the number, 90333105. That's a protest being held today in Belfast against what's called the Universal Credit Two-child cap, so the third child wouldn't be part of that universal credit. And there's also the associated rape clause that you've been hearing about as well. Your opinions, always welcome.